Round one, fight!
This is episode 9 of Don't Be a Scrub podcast. My name is Sparta Carnage, aka Verbose Mute on Xbox Live. My interviewing partner is Mutton, aka Muttonhead01 on PSN. I'd like to apologize for the delay on this episode. I had some family business which I needed to take care of, and unfortunately prevented me from working on the podcast, so we're sorry about that. Anyway, in this episode, we covered the last interview that we did at Shadaloo Showdown. We performed an interview with the WA crew. Just bear in mind, there was a lot of facts that we talked about which are sort of out of date by now. We spoke a lot about Arcade Edition. At that time, Arcade Edition wasn't even released. I was basically on 4 hours sleep total over the last 3 days, so a lot of the information that I was talking about is completely wrong. Feel free to flame me as much as humanly possible. Anyway, we hope that you enjoyed the interview. Wow, it's Monday morning, Shadaloo Showdown day, I think, 5 or 6, counting from Wednesday, and I have 4 very special guests with me today. It's the WA crew, and yeah, welcome everyone.
Hello.
We have Mr. Chowder, Mr. Guillotine Fist, and guys whose name I can't remember.
Calls Inferno, we just did
Calls Inferno.
Oh, what the hell? Why are you hating on me?
I'm not hating, I'm just tired. Alright. So you guys have been here for how many days now?
I've been here for 3 days. Right. That is my 4th day, actually.
Okay, so why don't you tell us, you know, a little bit how you, you know, how did you enjoy the event? What happened? How did you win the tournament and so forth?
Compared to Bam, I had a much better flight time, much more sleep, but just as bad. So 2-0, yeah, I don't know why. But I slowly did better during the on Sunday, but Saturday was just a terrible day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. But it was still fun, still enjoyed myself. So yeah, it was good. It was a good event.
That was alright for me. I didn't sleep on planes at all. Mm-hmm. Well, and then yeah, I have trouble adjusting to, like,
the
time zone, I guess.
Yeah, because there's a 3-hour time zone difference between WA and Victoria now.
I don't know. I was just pretty much
sleep
throughout
the entire time.
First day,
yeah,
you were nodding off in
friggin',
was it Blue House Arcade?
Yeah, Blue House.
Chinese one.
That's
alright,
yeah.
I'm supposed
to
be going to sleep.
Yeah, wake up with, you know,
sun,
scar on your back.
Yeah. Like, oh. Like, Darius and Cools were going around to lunches and this Sydney guys with, like, and I met up with also Gaming Beat Margo and Tokyo there. And I was asleep at the hotel.
Yeah, he's so salty about
that.
They
tried to wake me up apparently.
We did, we were prodding you and, like, you know, sort of.
Yeah.
Like, we nearly, like, smacked you in the face and you weren't responding to anything.
I was just dead.
You face planted onto a bed, literally.
Yeah, literally, sort did, of. Yeah.
Cool, it sounds like you guys had a good time. So, Mr. Chatter, you play Boxer? Is that your main?
Yes, I play Boxer.
So what would you say Boxer's toughest matchup? So
toughest matchup, one that comes straight to my head is Chun, bitch. yeah, Kokken, and then Fierce Punch, and that just rules my day. And all of our other bullshit mix-ups and like
flip kick.
No, flip kick's not too bad.
No, Hazantru.
No, not flip kick. More just her, like when she knocks you down. I always think it's a cross up, but then they hit me with 2 fierce punches, crouching fierce into that new psycho combo bullshit. It's like dizzy. I'm like, fuck. Yeah, then it's over. I still haven't played a crazy free rider again because I was very free to him at Evo APAC. So I think that's pretty tough. And Zangief's hard as well. Guile, Gar's annoying as well. But I think everything else is fine.
Okay. Because Balrog has a fairly good set of normals, and he can
does.
Poke.
He has an awesome set of normals. I've learned to use them, and I think I use them too much. Even like Akira, like when I played with like a bit of a set with Akira, and Akira was giving me advice afterwards. He was saying that you are very solid, too solid. You concentrate too much on footsies. Your footsies are so good, but you don't use his specials. I'm like, oh, okay. So then I kept that advice in mind when I did the Melbourne versus the rest exhibition, and or going against Exus. And at the start of the round, all I did was just use dash straight, and I got Exus down to like 50% just using straights.
Well, you had the lead in both of those games, so what happened near the end?
And I choked.
Down back, son.
No, I hate Blanca, even though it's a match up on my first
moment.
It's a hold down back, he doesn't do anything.
The shenanigans just annoy me, so...
And Exus's Blanker is actually extremely special because he doesn't ball at all, or
no,
very
he
rarely.
Actually, no.
Yeah, he's basically all about hop electricity pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
It's insane.
I think guys back in Perth like Captain Matchbox, and I can't remember who else plays Blanker. And the reason I can't remember who else is because you're all shit compared to Exus. So. learn jam electricity, guys. Seriously.
That's been the theme of your week. It's like anytime you lose to him, it's everyone else's fault for sucking. Oh,
no, especially for Blanca. Like for against Fat Cow with Honda, who I lost to in the singles tournament. That was fair enough. That was just me just being shit.
Mm-hmm.
I was just being salty afterwards and just trying
Fat
to make. I was just talking like a Formula One driver and trying to make up excuses.
I like it.
Yeah, but like no, but for Exus, it's just like no one does this kind of stuff in Perth.
Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Gilthinfist, how did you do in the tournament? By the way, he also mains Gen, which is a very low-tier character.
Yeah, I did surprisingly well, because...
He tier-hoarded against Honda.
Oh!
Oh, yeah, I did use Honda in singles, twice.
Did you use Gen as well?
I mostly use Gen, actually.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Because a fair few people said that there was this one really crazy Gen from WA who was like tearing shit up. It was like rumors floating around the hall, man.
I think there was only a team tournament where I like OCV'd a team. I think that was it.
And you
that's what probably did it.
And you landed an ultra on game of me.
I
you gimmicked him out.
I gimmicked him. We both didn't know the matchup. I was like, fuck it on, what the hell? It's always the exact same thing. Fuck Ken, what the hell?
You talked to him afterwards, well, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he, that's exactly what he said. I don't know what I'm doing.
So, what do you think is Gen's hardest matchup then?
I don't know, they're all pretty hard.
Yeah.
Probably Chun Li, I think.
Because of her normals, or?
Because of Gen's new changes. When Super came out, throughout Vanilla, I played pretty hardcore actually. I played Heat.
Mm-hmm.
And when Super came out, I didn't really like the changes to Gen, and I also sort of got less time to play.
Mm-hmm.
So I pretty much became a bit of a casual player. That's why I started playing Honda.
Mm-hmm.
Also because Eric DK from Sydney taught me how to play.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh, DK.
Basically, those changes, I just didn't adjust both of the changes.
Yeah. Disgusting, DK.
Yeah.
Sorry, I give up. So, alright, so. Gen lost his Invincible Augur from Super.
Ah, yeah.
And
that didn't really bother me too much because I didn't use it that much.
Mm-hmm.
But even though I knew not many people could punish it, it was actually quite punishable. For example, Bison.
Mm-hmm.
If I do EX Augur, he could just slide punish me.
So there were also hands changes, I think. Last time we spoke at Bami, so that affected your game quite a bit.
Yeah, because I used to keep people at like a certain range using hands. With that, basically they couldn't advance forward, so it would basically I try to make people jump by going, you can't move forward, you got to try and get it some other way, and then I just anti them with like down fears the whole time.
Yeah,
but because it pushes them back so far, like to the other side of the screen, that just makes them walk back forward, and it's just reset. Okay, play towards easy again. And also the range nerfs, so they can just walk in closer as well, and then I have to use different anti airs rather than a catch all down fears.
Okay, so you are Sakura.
So how did you do in the tournament?
Surprisingly decently.
Okay, so who do you actually main? I don't really know much about it.
I main Bison, and I just have this habit of like trying to play a different character every
week. He comes to one of our meetups.
Check this shit out, I've got an epic Blanker now. Oh, check this shit out, I've got an epic Dalsim now. And usually I'll fuck someone up for like a little while, and then we'll all turn to shit after they realise what I'm doing. And then there was a period like when the Super first came out that I basically had a new main like every 2 weeks, and I'd still just beat down Chowder just regardless of who I was using, occasionally for that week, and then he'd adapt, and I'd find a new main and we'd start all over again. It was good shit. Using matchup knowledge, top tier stuff.
What's the sticker on your stick wing?
Yes, I put a sticker on my stick because my dad's label mate, because I was just pissing around with it one day, and it says Chun Tang for life. In reference to Chun Li, I now have not used Chun Li for ages, and I never plan to ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, good times.
who is on your current this week's main? You said you played Dictator over the weekend?
Yeah, main of the week, classic flavour, you know, Dictator.
Mm. Disgusting top tier.
Yeah, yes and no. Yes and no.
I mean, even, like, I was speaking to Kito and he basically said that, no, that Dictator isn't top tier. He says that he's solid mid-tier.
That's the thing, it's like, there's the whole theory that it's like, oh, there's top tier, but then there's tournament-winning characters, and arguably a tournament-winning character can't have a million bad matchups. And so, you know, if you've got someone like Dictator who's got a million bad matchups, like Chun-Li, Guile, Honda, you know, you go on down the list, you know, even though they're a solid character against a lot of the weaker characters, they're kind of shit against the characters everyone else
and actually uses in tournament. So why don't you guys tell me a little bit about the WA scene?
It's awfully small.
So how small, and how do you have your meetups? You have Rambats?
Not really small handful of players. But there's about six or so in, like I'd say, the core group, and there's about another seven or so that regularly turn up. Not like every time, but like
every
we'll see them more than once a month, I guess.
So do you have like weekly meetups where you all play?
It's pretty much like, I mean, not sure if you follow the Oshodo Perth thread, but it's usually looking pretty bare. It's either going to be myself holding like a meetup, telling everyone to come every Sunday or every second Sunday to my apartment, it's going to be this guy named Johnny. Shout out to Johnny back in Perth in Northridge to his garage. We just go like gather in his garage on like the Thursday night to play.
Nice.
Yeah, but compared to like Melbourne, where you've got like CCH, you've got Deke, and then you've got like Couch Warriors every now and again, there's nothing that's really like scheduled and organized. There's not even like anything competitive. Like, I know Couch Warriors is like, you know, like $5 a pop to be able to enter.
It's $5 for the hall, $2 for the tournament, but anyway.
Something like that. Well, yeah, but we don't even have something like that. That's where I think we're probably lacking a bit compared to even just the East Coast in general.
So have you guys thought about, you know, trying to build up the community? Because it sounds like you guys have a very similar problem to the New Zealand scene as well, because they have a very similar thing where they have basically one arcade in Auckland, and then they sort of have like small pockets of guys who just sort of play it around each other's houses every, you know, once a fortnight and stuff. But one of the guys, you know, the guy who's doing Three Green Bars, the documentary, he's actually started his own sort of small community. It's starting to grow.
Captain Monta,
yeah. By the way, shout outs to him. I really like Three Green Bars. It's really fascinating to see how badly the European scene is. So it's like, have you guys thought about, you know, trying to sort of maybe advertise or go to like a uni to see if there's, you know, potential.
Valkyron, aka Andrew, is kind of our scene guy. So he's more of like the guy who kind of builds the community usually. He's the one who's organised tournaments in the past, pretty much. He's like the Gutex of Perth. He really is. So most things go through him, but even myself, I'm trying, but I just don't really have enough time to be able to organise more things. I mean, I do hold stuff at my house. I've held one ranking battle so far. It's just that people just don't turn up.
Because
people, like, there's guys, like I said, there's kind of like guys like us in the core group. I think there's like another sector of people, like Dominic's crew, like there's like the Facebook group. Facebook community. Community.
And the brothers,
yeah. So
we should probably have like, you know, TEC brothers versus your brothers.
Pretty much, yeah. I think that would be quite. if they ever listen to this, you guys are free to take.
I'm sorry, they would just body.
Which is a good motivation for you guys to level up.
So do you guys have, then I'm assuming, since the scene is so small, do you guys have any inner rivalries and so forth?
Inner rivalries? We always hate the honky guys because they're like, we just play KOF and we just stumble onto Street Fighter and we just become godlike at the game for no reason.
It's because KOF games are a lot faster.
Yeah, exactly.
And a little bit more execution heavy.
Yeah, so they just, you know,
I'm afraid combo, this is every day for me. This is my fried rice, not my bread and butter.
I see.
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, look, last night was like one of the first times I went to the Blue House and actually decided to play KOF, and I just sucked. Because the execution is so much more stricter, and because I've been predominantly just playing Super, it's like, oh, no, Dragon Punch for me is just stand up, you know, heavy punch. It's like, what? It was awful. So I understand, like, if you come from King of the Fighters background and you play it a lot and you play it like seriously, then I think Super Survivor 4 is a lot easier to adapt to because the game is a lot slower. You can, if you pick a rushdown character, which King of the Fighters predominantly is, you just rush down.
Yeah,
you can be really good. So because your scene is so small, how do you guys then level up? Do you like do you rely a lot more on frame data, SIK?
Watching videos. Link each other videos. And go check this out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you guys do this as well?
Well, I try and watch as many videos as I can of like all my the best boxes and like having like using Seth as a secondary now, watching as many of those videos as I can and just seeing what setups they do. I'm trying to see what mindset they use. Like just watching how people use boxes jab and using that as not just like to pressure but as a spacing tool. So just stuff like that. And then obviously just trying to get real time practice whenever the guys come over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So how do you get other because the guys play different characters, how do you get like other characters that these guys don't play?
If you noticed, I'm quite free to any character that never come up against. Like, remember at BAM, I came up against the DJ. I'm thinking I could chip you with EX Headbutt for the win, and you just reversal Ultra. And
That was that was an interesting match actually. I was so scared because boxers just dominate the crap out of me usually, because that standing jab and crouching jab just destroys DJ. Unless if you get in.
Well, to the
Elfo
we came up against though, we were damn free to him. We don't have any
Full star.
And that was on stream, wasn't it? Freaking hell.
This guy's sitting on me going slide, hit, throw. It's like, I'm gonna be doing something now.
I was just going, I'm thinking, tech, damn it, tech. After a slide. They can't do shit after.
By the way, the slide is like -13 on walks, so.
I think it has to be.
There are two types. Like, if he does the run slide, I think it's like -13. And I think if he just does the normal slide, I think it's like -6 or something. So you're still punished both of them. So then, how do you feel about Balrog's changes for Arcade Edition?
I don't even know what his changes are. What's Dirty Ball? Like, what's the changes to that?
Motion change.
Motion change, but it's still like 3-frame startup, isn't it? So it's two-frame startup, so you can just jump out of it.
It's still ass.
Yeah. I think some of the other changes were standing jab won't hit crouching opponents anymore.
That actually is, in my eyes, it's a huge nerf, because in matchups that Abel against Sagat,
necessary.
Even against, I think, like any character that you need to be able to keep out. It's like it's huge because you can't keep them at bay anymore.
The alarm, right?
Okay. I think one of his other changes was I think they're doing something with Headbutt Ultra, if I remember correctly.
They always say they're doing something with Headbutt Ultra. Do they ever?
I don't know. Well, this is like confirmed in the blog, so I guess.
Yeah, I think they said something about being a one-frame link.
That's
ass. Maybe doesn't launch him as much.
Yeah, I think that was something like that.
I think one of the ones as well, main ones I was looking at was I think the headbutt recovery
is being
changed.
Yeah, I think that's gone up.
So I think, it doesn't really matter that much in terms of if they block or not. It's more for the mix-up I do afterwards, because there's like a mix-up I do where if I just do any headbutt, I'll do a fierce punch headbutt, and I'll do a medium punch headbutt, but I can either just do it straight after my headbutt, or I can do, like, despite being a charge character, do like a little walk forward and then do a headbutt, and that makes it like an ambiguous cross-up.
Yeah, one of my friends...
And so if my recovering frames, I think, decreased or increased, then that just means that it's going to throw out the timing.
Yeah, and basically, like, you can do another headbutt, and it's like an ambiguous landing where you are.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So you do a headbutt, and they get knocked down, and you're basing it on them taking their knockdown. And if they do, and you do your, which if I decide to not move or move forward, depending on how fat the character is as well. But you get a good mix up on that.
It's a nice little trick because I saw one of my friends who Julian, who plays boxer as well, do that on me, and I'm like, fuck, I just lost my charge because I had to move to the other side.
Because
he held it a little.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the Gen's changes in Arcade Edition? Mr. Guilty.
He got one buff, I think. Or two.
I thought he got lots of buffs. Like, they changed a fair few things in both styles, didn't they?
From what I've read, the only real changes are the increased Ultra 2 in the air range, the Dark Cube, and increased range in Roundhouse.
I thought they buffed some of his normals as well, so you can do, like, crouching, light punch, standing, medium punch, hands, and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You can already do that as a link. if they added some target combos, then that's...
I think they added a couple of target combos.
Yeah, even if they did, it's rather superficial, I think. You know, like, what do? You can do different combos. I mean, wow.
Right.
Yeah, but if your normals are also a little bit better, it means you can poke more and stuff.
Yeah, that's good, but I didn't read anything about that.
I'm pretty sure that they've had, like, because the first translation that came out for it was, like, fairly small. They said, like, increased
the
range.
I think I already saw the first translation.
Yeah, and then the bigger one was, like, almost, you know, a quarter of a page of Gen's changes.
I didn't have to see that. I'm actually thinking of dropping Gen in our translation for Yin and Yang.
Okay.
I'll just, like, look at them. Look at them develop, and then just, like, pick the one that's top tier.
Ooh, well, I mean, speaking from, like, Takeda and Margo, they basically said that, I think...
Yeah.
Yang is going to be the stronger one because the Gaijin's not actually broken like it was in Third Strike. So, yeah.
And there's a more solid thing. Apparently, one of them said Yang's got like plus 10 on everything on block, on hit, whatever.
Yeah.
That's exaggerated, but yeah.
I think he said there was like plus 7, plus 8, and
yeah,
there was like a double digit number.
I don't know, hopefully it's a mistake or something, but
it has to be a mistake, surely.
By the way, we also have Ali, the one of the Shadowloo Showdown organizers, in the room with us, patiently waiting for me to finish.
Killing all the peoples.
We also have Darius, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yep. Yes. In the room. So why don't you tell us a little bit, you mean Rufus?
Yep.
Is that correct? Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit, what do you think is Rufus's hardest matchup? In Super.
Table.
Cigar. Margo made Darius look.
Margus, I got speech test. The hard matchup I had probably Cammy.
Mm-hmm.
Is
that because the dive kick pressure? Because Rufus's wake up Cammy?
Rufus has 950 stun stamina.
Mm-hmm.
So Cammy has lots of mix ups.
Mm-hmm.
So if I guess wrongly twice, I'm stunned.
Alright.
So two resets and I'm stunned, and he does another one, and then I reset,
mm-hmm.
and then it's game over. She hit it hard.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what would you say is Rufus's best matchup then?
Best matchup.
Excluding, Dan, Hakan.
Again.
Ali. Ali's a Kuma.
Best matchup.
Alright, let me put it this way. What do you think is your... When you're playing Rufus, which character do you beat the most? Like, the easiest time you have?
Well, I don't actually remember.
No, so you just dominate everyone.
Yeah, wait. So, you've got to dominate how many?
I mean, every time I think there's an easy matchup,
mm-hmm.
then I go into the game and I get...
Something changes.
Yeah, it changes, because gameplay is different. You can't just... Like, for example, I played Vince Sim.
Yep.
He's more offensive, and yesterday's team better.
Mm-hmm.
I played Cactus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Cactus is
a lot more defensive, and like, I got lucky and managed to adapt.
See, Cactus is Dalsim, I would probably say, is more like a Turo Sanchez. He sort of holds back a bit more.
Yep.
Unlike, I think Vince's Sim is a lot more like Filipino Champ, where he moves around a lot more and tends to attack with his longer range limbs.
Yeah, no, both of us, it's too hard to get in for both.
Oh, of course,
yeah. And then I always thought it was an easy matchup, but then it feels like 5-5 because if I can't get in, he's winning, is it?
Exactly.
Any area where I can't get in, I pretty much can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I can go in, I can rush in. So if you're going to answer that question, easiest matchup, I'm going to do this. Probably I like the Honda matchup.
Okay. Why would that be?
Pretty comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Honda has a lot of strong normals.
Mm.
And but he's a very strong defense as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Honda player doesn't know the Rufus matchup, then he's pretty easy in
mm-hmm.
sense.
Because your die kick, because of your
die kick pressure.
Yeah,
because most of Honda's hit button smash everything can be countered by Rufus.
Oh, with the dive kick?
Cross ups and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really use the hit button to anti aim and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. Or I guess Sakura then.
Okay.
Yeah, probably Sakura will be one of the easy matchups as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because crouching heavy punch doesn't work on Rufus.
Oh, really?
No.
How come? Is it because it's just a hitbox, or because...
If I delay my dive kick, mm-hmm. and he presses crouching heavy punch too early,
yep.
I'll speed it.
Right, right. Oh, so, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, if I time my jumps properly, he can't delay his heavy punch.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, every character's about the same. I mean, I look at it as they're about the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're harder matchups, but then the rest are just normal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting stuff. So, what arcade changes are your magical menagerie of players getting? So, let's say, do you know about the dictator changes?
Yes, unfortunately.
So,
one stick out is, one losing damage on, standing heavy kick when it hits,
mm-hmm.
really far away.
Yeah, so just the tip does actually a lot less damage.
Yeah, and the motion change for Psycho Punisher. Ultimately, just having it before meant you could kind of just go in and it's like, you can't fireball because I can just,
mm-hmm.
go through it. Whereas now you kind of have to kind of be more like, what's... Like, characters like Chun-Li or Balrog, where you actually have to be charging back to punish fireballs.
Mm.
It's kind of more like that, rather than just being able to switch it out wherever, so it probably... lowers some of the deterrent factor a little bit.
But it also does. But it does get a damage boost on the actual ultra. It goes to 450. So yes, I agree with you. You can't just do it at any time.
Yeah.
But I think you'll still. I still think that Ultra 2 will probably be the better Ultra.
Probably.
Because you could still do medium punch, medium punch, Ultra 2.
Yeah.
Other advice uses Ultra 2 is Rufus. No options are like rubbish.
I think a lot of charge players, a lot of them will be happy with the charge run. I know a lot of them have faster reaction to do
charge.
The ultra with charge than quarter circle. I know Justice is happy about it.
Yeah, so I'm fairly happy about it as well.
Somix says it's a buff because. Hold back.
He's always holding back.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Why would you complain? It's just always like, as soon as you see any kind of movement, if you're fast enough, just look how fast Goyles do their ultra too.
Yesterday when Vince was playing Margo and somebody asked Margo to use Dick Bison, and then during the game, I think it was Margo had a life lead with Bison, and then he was turtling, and then Vince.
So, Mr. Chowder, as a player, what would you say are your greatest strengths and weaknesses? Let's go with weaknesses first.
Let's go with weaknesses.
A lot of people usually tend to think that their weaknesses are better than strengths.
I think my weaknesses are lack of ability to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
So, even though I think I'm even when I watch match videos and stuff, I can kind of know what's going on and what's the mindset and that kind of thing. But in terms of when I'm there in the tournament playing myself, it would be I just kind of gone a bit of a blank.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really aren't able to adapt. So even this tournament as well, after watching ironically Marn,
mm-hmm.
who when he played against Daigo, he lost a game and then he actually just sat down and thought about what just happened. So rather than just smacking on the on A to go rematch, I just had to try to have a think about what just happened. It still didn't help. So
we're talking about the match at Season's Beatings where Marn beat Daigo.
Yeah, that one. So I was just trying to see if that would have a think, or should I just go straight back into it, or should I have a think? So,
mm-hmm.
That's probably something where I need to improve in general as a player, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm actually a bit guilty of myself just pressing rematch as quickly as
pretty
possible.
Pretty much, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's if you just have a think about it, what did I just get hit with?
Yeah.
Should be able, because you've got the time to think about it as well. Mm-hmm. Because they win, they just think, oh great. Usually they just think oh great, I got a win, hooray! But if you can take time, just quick. 10 or 20 seconds to just quickly dissect of why they won, then you'll be able to figure out the counter if you know your character and you know the matchup well enough. Yeah.
So what do you think your strengths are?
Strengths, according to Akira, you are very solid. You have such good footies.
I love the way you just do the accent as well.
I think every time someone quotes Akira, it's always with an accent.
You have to.
Okay, so you're a solid player, have very good footsies. Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I've been told by the vast majority of the people who saw me or did see my singles games.
Mm-hmm.
I think execution-wise, on my own TV, my execution's quite godlike. But I think I was talking to this morning as well, like when you come to like a tournament or even just a different environment, you need to take that time to do the warm up to get used to whatever setup it is. Because I think at the end of the day, if you're complaining about the setup, that's just poor. Because I even brought my own stick this time as well. But you just have to, like, even like, my suggestion, like, just from experience now, is to say, like, oh, just go to a player, go to a, like, a casual station, just go, not even just, like, do practice matches, but even just where you just hit, like, almost like a training mode where you have one round for one player to just practice all their combos and then switch it up. That's almost like how they do it in God's Garden on the Japanese videos, doing something like that, just to get used to the timing. Because, I got, like, punish opportunities, and I do... Like with Boxer, I do jump roundhouse, stand roundhouse, so that my strong link wouldn't come out, and then I do an EX up and then open.
That's mainly why we decided to ask BenQ for the same screens, so the tournament setups were all using the same screens. Because I've, you know, from tournament experience, going from one screen to another, it's very hard to adapt, unless, you know, you're really good and you can adapt really quick to the different screens. I play on visual cues, so it's even worse for me, but... yeah, that's why we decided to go with all the same setup. Hopefully that helped out a few people, so they don't have to keep switching.
Speaking of hardware, what kind of setups do you guys have? Do you have specific monitors which you like to use, or do you just sort of go whatever's available?
Well, like, because the community is so small in Perth, it's usually even pretty difficult to get a number of setups at meetups. Because some people have setups, some people can, like, you know, they just don't bring them, and they just kind of hope for the best. So sometimes we have the case where... but we've got more players, but we don't have enough setups. But the setup I've got at my apartment is Samsung plasma TV. So
Lag City.
It's actually, I mean, I think it's fine, to be honest. Yeah, so maybe it's because I've gotten used to that. That's maybe why my links aren't coming.
See, I got a Samsung LCD TV, and it's lags like all buggery. Like,
because I know one of our guys, Kay. He has this TV which is like Lag City. And then he plays online as well, so that's added lag. So when he comes to our meetup, he plays on PSN. So then when he comes to our meetup, he's like, oh my god, what is this lack of lag? And he's dropping his links there. Like,
yeah, because on my TV, if I do like Headbutt Ultra with Balrog, I basically, as soon as I do the headbutt, I have to do the motion for Ultra.
Yeah.
So when I actually moved to a CRT TV, I realized I actually have to delay this a little, because I was just doing the Ultra would like come straight away as soon as he lands, and I'd whiff.
That reminds me of Zero Lands from Adelaide. He also prefers the lag screen. He actually prefers the lag.
Because he plays online all the time.
He plays GAL.
I think it's a PSN thing, isn't it? What's wrong with you PSN players?
Compliment is on Xbox Live.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is. So, Mr. Gildenfist, what would you say are your greatest strengths and weaknesses as a player?
Weakness is probably... I live in
Perth. Sorry?
Living in Perth, no internet, no lack of players.
Matchups.
Okay. Realistically, I think my main weakness is how I kind of treat the game kind of casually, especially since Super came out. Because I guess I was just really, really, really salty about getting changed. So yeah, it was just me being a real casual player. That was my main weakness. And other than that, I can't really say much about my strength, because I really think you require someone else to say that. You need a mirror to look at yourself. You know what I'm saying?
You don't think about your own sort of game, and you know.
Yeah, well, in my own game, lack of matchup knowledge, really. Yeah, and as a part of that, not knowing how to react to certain things and stuff.
So you need someone to tell you how you are, like what your strengths are. I'll tell you. You know, you're free.
you have no strengths. No.
You're terrible.
I'm just going to call you Mr. Dictator, because I forgot your name.
Dictator, this is the third time.
You know how you guys got crazy wings?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his name's Wings.
All right, Wings. It's easy enough to remember. He's someone put some name in front
Wings
of
Wings is his real name.
Wang. With W-E-N-G, like Wing with it. Yeah.
I'd rather call you Wing.
Wings.
Like Wings it is.
Yeah, this one guy.
No Wing.
Always cares. He always makes Cedric's going, oh, I want some chicken wings. And I'm like, no, shut up. Cedric's got old, boring.
No, but Wang is like...
Ring true.
It's not with an A. Good one.
Wing. I heard you say Wang, dude.
Alright, Mr. Wings, then. What would you say are your greatest strengths and weaknesses?
Okay, weaknesses is definitely. I'm very sort of like momentum heavy? That doesn't make sense. It's like, essentially, if I'm on, I'm really on, and like, you know, everything's going perfectly, but then I'll slip up once or twice, crack, and then everything will just turn to shit. Like,
so you're saying your mental game is
yeah.
A little bit weak.
It's pretty much true. You were thinking
as soon as he said that, so many memories are like casual tournaments, I just can't wait. It's just like, he's got the life lead. I've got 10%
life.
There's like maybe 20 seconds left.
Rush
on
up a loop. Yeah. Reset. Throw. Hit again. Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. Dizzy.
And he's
I don't know
what's his weakness.
Oh yeah, no, also prepares me for being a dickhead, you know. So it's like, you know, yeah, taunt. It's like, yeah, I'm trying to bait something. It's like, oh shit, I did it too late. Oh god, it's all turning to shit now. Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think of your greatest strength then?
I suppose it's a strength and a weakness, but I try to like do unorthodox stuff, mm-hmm. like, you know, sort of random setups, try something, sort of see what happens, and, you know, throw the water out, just do something that people wouldn't expect in certain situations, which works good and bad.
So you rely on more on your like your gut feeling in a match when you're playing against someone.
Kind of, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I think Dan at some stage described me as playing very free form, and I just like yeah, just went.
Did you just call me free?
Is it free form? Free.
Okay. So outside of Street Fighter, Mr. Chiara, what do you like to do? As in, like, you know. What are hobbies and other things like that?
I just like to go like hang out with my friends, like either whether it be my work crew and that kind of thing. It's like go for coffee, go to dinner, go like go out drinking or something like that. I do kung fu as well.
So oh, okay, so perhaps martial arts.
That helps with the discipline to a degree as well. So,
how long have you been doing kung fu for?
I've been doing it for it's my 12th year now.
Wow!
So. Doing it since I was a little kid.
So does Kung Fu have like a dan system similar to karate?
It's not so much like dan. It's it's just like different color belts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
you're a black?
I am a green belt at the moment.
Oh, okay.
I like how you assume black belt.
No, I'm asking because I know like with karate, what's the other one? Most of the Japanese martial arts, you have like the original belts, and then once you get to black, then you have like the dan system where you go like dan 1, 2, to all the way like, up to grandmaster.
Like the reason why I rag on Taekwondo a lot. I mean, I'm sure like the professional Taekwondo people are really good, but like, you know, when you're like a little kid, you have like, you know, these 17 year olds who are black belts, and I think like black belt is just a status that you should really reach when you've really got to the highest level.
But see, that's one that you get the black belt, and then you have like Dan 1 black belt, Dan 2 black belt, and all the way up to 12.
Because of the businesses, they buy their belts. Black belt.
Yeah, that you also have that aspect of it as well.
So I mean, our system goes yellow, red, green, blue, and then black. So it's like five. So I'm like smack bang in the middle. Right.
So how many years does it usually take to get a black belt?
How long? One of the like more senior guys at the school, so it's taken me 12 years, but we've had lots of system changes, that kind of thing. So I think if you really kind of like put your head down and dedicate yourself, I'd say probably about, I'm guessing about 6 years or so, maybe. But you know, it's like you kind of like you come and go, there's like different changes, you gotta learn those changes. So it's just having to, you know, kind of like adapt to those changes.
So do you also do teaching at the school as well?
Yeah, definitely. So that's a big part of it as well. So I'm like one of the senior guys there. So just like all the new guys, even like with some of the like even though they're like seniors, but they're like, you know, still like a level below me, I still help them out as well. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
I'm glad I sat in on this meeting or this interview because I plan on jumping chowder.
You plan on jumping chowder?
Now in 12 years of Kung Fu, I'm thinking just jumping wings.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always the good
one. He's the fresh meat of the group. Okay, so have you ever thought about maybe like introducing new players to Street Fighter from your is it a dojo in karate?
A dojo, well, it's like we call it, because it's Chinese, it's like a gun, which means just like it's like training hall basically.
Okay.
One of the things was when Street Fighter 4 first came out, all of us guys, like there's a bunch of us guys there that like are into video games, and all of us were like getting hyped for Street Fighter 4. So I got the game, and they all came up to my house and play, and then my first ever actual tournament was actually that I organized myself at my house, but just all the guys from Kung Fu came over. But it came to the case where they were more casual players. Whereas myself, I just kept playing because it was a game I really, really liked. And the next, I held another tournament, and pretty much everyone was free to me. I had only learned basic shit as well.
So you're basically just going from, you know, you just leveled up so much by playing with the rest of them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I had. It's like Final Fantasy. We were all level 1. I leveled up to maybe like level 10. They were still on level 1.
I understand. I actually had a similar problem in Geelong as well, because most of the anime club that I was still am involved in. Basically, a few of the guys there liked playing Street Fighter, and they were really hyped for Super Street Fighter 4 in this case. And basically, yeah, the game came out. We all sort of started playing. Well, actually, they played it for about 6 months before I played it, because I was living in New South Wales at the time. Then I came back down and, yeah, just pretty much destroyed them. And I didn't actually even play the game. I just used my ST knowledge from it and just basically, yeah. And unfortunately, I think that sort of turned them off a little bit from playing. And now it's like, oh, well, no point of playing Igor because we just lose all the time. Like, even when I use my alternative characters or characters I don't know. I think it's also because they're a little bit casual. I think that's another issue with basically with community organizers is how do you turn a casual player into a hardcore player?
We've kind of discussed that as well because we at our tournaments we get like the usual core group of people, which is about 10, maybe like 15 odd people, and then like there'll be ones from the other group as well, and then there might be like 5 or so people who are just like brand new who are just like just come in. And how to like kind of get there. So it's just like if you hold an event, for example, as whoever's organising or even as one of the more respected guys in your scene, just like go around and say like, oh, you know, are you enjoying yourself? That kind of thing, and make sure they feel welcome. And just see like even like have play some sets with them and see how responsive they are to like, don't be afraid to go completely balls out and all of them. But if they're like going like, oh my god, what was that? Then you actually try and teach them how responsive they are to that. And that's where you can judge like, oh, you know, is this guy, you know, like willing to learn to be able to level up, or is he just like, oh, I just want to smash out some games, which is fine as well.
I think you guys need to get an Ali, because he's basically one of the reasons I think the Melbourne community has grown so much. Because when I first started going on Couch Warriors, like this, he would just walk up and say, oh, how are you enjoying yourself? Are you having fun?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, come here, check this out. Really, really friendly. And I think he attracts a lot of people to come back. Even if they're not, even if they're just pure casual players, they still just come out just to sort of hang out and, you know, talk about random stuff.
You gotta make everyone feel comfortable. Like yesterday at Shadow Showdown, there's a few people intimidated to go on the casuals because, you know, they thought it was a bit of a tight-knit community. So you just pull them aside and just start introducing them to everyone. Because, like, one guy, Brian, yesterday, first time at an event, he's from Sydney, and I just started introducing him to Sydney players, so, you know, when he does go back as well, he's got, already knows a bunch of names and, you know, and got him to jump on the casuals.
Same thing with Street Pussy. I mean, the guy who entered, this was his first tournament, and I was actually chatting to him, and he said, like, you know, first tournament ever, and I'm like, oh, how did you do? So I'm introducing you to me, to Martin, and so forth, and I've, you know, told him that he should definitely start back to the other events. I think building a community is really important because I think overall it'll help everybody get better.
Yeah,
more characters, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. And we've really got to get more people with mods. I think Australia in general needs to get off the top tier list, because we have so many Ryus, so many Bisons. You know, we need more character diversity. Yeah, exactly. I mean, what, we have like 3 Rufus players that, you know, they're actually main Rufus in like Super. You, there's like 2 others that I can't actually remember.
We used to have Wing in Melbourne, but he went back to China.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's from. Toxie's got a really solid Rufus.
Yeah, but Toxie doesn't main Rufus. He mains Akuma. I'm saying people actually stick, you know, to a character, because I think if we ever go overseas, like when we go to EVO Japan, we're going to get smashed. And that was one of the things that both Somniac, Toxie, and Bomb said, that when they went to the States, everybody knew the character matchups. They knew how to punish everything accordingly.
Yeah, it's because,
you know, you can't have, like, you know, DJ versus Gen, where both players don't know the matchup. It's just...
Yeah, but US has a population of like 50 billion, so of course they're going to...
Well, it's actually 350 million, but yeah, okay.
Close.
But no, I mean, but in general, I think that's something that we really need to do. We need to get a better diversity of players. More people seriously playing, you know, and just sticking to... I suppose you can't force people into, you know, playing characters, and winning is nice, I guess.
Just
but
to keep whispering in there, right? Elf Forte.
We actually have 2 serious Forte players in Melbourne.
We have
we used to have Alvin also, he went back. But one advantage I have is I live with Sol, so, and he uses basically the whole roster, so that helps. But still free a little bit.
Well, I've heard some players encourage newer players to use certain characters rather than whatever they want.
Yeah, that's harsh.
Well, I mean, I suggest that to Syntax, after seeing how he plays, he's one of the new players in Melbourne. By the way, shout out to Syntax.
What's up, Syn?
To actually use Abel, because he was sort of like, he picked Akuma, and because he sort of his defense was a little bit weak, you just cross him up and just destroy him in two combos in Super. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, and he said he wants to like pick a rushdown character, so I'm thinking, well, Abel will probably be good for him to give it a try.
He can take the hits as well.
And that's Abel can also take the hits.
What was it based on? Like, so just character based on how.
Yeah, exactly. Or ask him, you know, well, sort of, how do you like to play the game? And then sort of, okay, well, maybe you should try this guy, and then give him a few reasons why.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, maybe I'm thinking, you know, maybe Abel wasn't, because Abel is fairly execution heavy at certain points, especially with the step kick one frame link combos.
Every character is pretty execution heavy.
Yeah. You just gotta put in the time, that's all.
Exactly.
And also, yeah, it's pretty bad sort of like defensive stuff as well. Like you said,
he can be abused by a few characters. Like,
yeah.
Option selecting Akuma will mess him up hard. Abel.
Definitely.
Then again, that's important. I think most of it just needs to like block more, that's about it.
Yeah, actually, I noticed a lot of people in SF4 love to jump and love to rush down.
And love to push buttons around.
Yeah.
Frame traps. Yeah, push buttons.
Yeah, and Gen's actually got some nice frame traps.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you never use them.
That's what you told me about
them. Exactly. I found that out. I don't even mean it.
I know, you told me about it.
What are you looking at?
I told you, that's my weakness. I'm too casual.
Who's the first Gen here in Japan?
Me.
I like it.
No, I have no idea. I don't pay attention. I'm too casual.
There's a lot of them, but man. Seen some videos really with Gen's.
Actually, Jason showed me the Japanese Gen combos, so I learned some combos from him, but I didn't want to use them, because I feel that you got to stock up Super to punish certain things.
So do you guys follow the international community a bit?
Yeah, I pretty much check all the websites like Shuriken every day.
Mm-hmm.
The forums not so much anymore. I mean, I check them maybe like once a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
Dare I say, because like a lot of the stuff posted there, like I've just like I know it already.
Yep.
But sometimes like one of the really good guys from America is Hart Yavitz.
Oh yeah. Yep.
He posts up really really good stuff because he just hits the lab all the time, and like posts up all these awesome option selects and stuff. Mm-hmm. So. To implement those into my game.
So how much would you say that you practice a week?
Practice a week?
Training mode and playing actual matches.
Almost never go into training mode, because I hate it with a passion.
Oh, okay.
I will go into training mode to practice stuff that I see Yavitz do, like all option selects and stuff. That's it. I mean, I won't go into training mode just to do combos, because I figure combos I'll just practice in the match.
Okay.
But it's pretty much just either whenever my housemate Ricky is in and like I'm free as well, like, hey, let's play, let's do it. And then, you know, obviously whenever I feel like calling one of the guys come over, or whenever I go somewhere else.
So I'm assuming Mr. Guillotine Fest, how much do you practice?
About once or twice a month.
Okay.
They have a meet up.
Oh, okay, so you don't actually do training?
Nah, I can't. I was being serious. I'm really.
You're just that casual. Okay.
Since Super came out, yeah.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Alright. Next games, there's a few fighters coming out. Mortal Kombat 9, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Street Fighter X7. You guys planning on playing those? I think those are the next big thing, big games coming out. And
that's not
going
to be big.
Not in Australia.
Well, those will probably make the lineup for Shadow Showdown 2011. Hopefully June or July. So we're giving you a heads up now.
First coming up.
They're going to play Marvel vs. Captain. There's no, you know, you know, versus.
Dude, they have like 10 super players. I doubt they're going to have to. Yeah, too many
Marvel.
The
Sleeping Beast, you reckon?
Yeah, maybe you'll have your like, yes, Marvel baby in the end talk.
I was actually thinking of picking up Marvel vs. Capcom. Not because I particularly enjoy that sort of thing. I don't like being hit by some random infinite. But losing one bit in footsies or something.
Mm.
But I have a feeling that it might grab in a lot of new people into the fighting game community.
Yeah.
So that's my main reason for learning, or intending to learn it. Mortal Kombat. Not so much. It's hard to tell. Like the previous Mortal Kombat, basically a bunch of characters that look slightly different, all same moveset, but with different special moves, and that was about it. I have no idea whether Mortal Kombat will be like a legit game or not.
Yeah, well, they're saying that they're tailoring it towards the fighting game community, but I still have a feeling they're going to stuff at all.
I don't know. I think they've gone with a nice approach with it. It kind of looks like Street Fighter 4. Hopefully, it plays just as good.
It certainly looks nice, but kind of like my. To give an idea of how much I care about Mortal Kombat is like you have the SIK news feed, and I'll scroll past the Mortal Kombat.
Yep. So I'm in the same boat. It's like, oh, MK9, new character.
I think most people won't give it time of day until they actually give it a shot, and then maybe they'll jump on if they enjoy it.
So. I'd be willing to give it a shot, but like, I'm not following.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. I'm just saying that's what I think. I think a few people might actually jump on the Mortal Kombat bandwagon when they actually play it.
I was speaking to Gamerby actually, and just came back to the training mode thing. And he told me, speaking to me yesterday while we were doing the stream, and he told me that he was speaking to Sarko, and apparently Sarko practices when he's, you know, preparing for a combo for tournament and things like that for God's Garden. He says that he practices 13 hours a day.
Jesus.
Wow. In training mode, in training room.
Can I say it?
Mm. Yeah.
Now, when you say it, you gotta do the thumbs down thing.
So, you know, so I asked him, like, so does he work? And he goes, yeah, basically he, Kimby said that he's a geek, and basically he goes to work, comes home, turns on Street Fighter, and 13 hours later he turns off, goes to work.
Jesus,
you know, he goes to sleep, goes
so
back to work.
A robot. That just proves
and,
it.
You know, but then again, I mean, speaking to Takedo, he's and Margo played 100 hours. Just the Dalsim matchup, just to be ready for YHC Mochi for God's Garden 2.5.
Shit.
And Takedo used to practice 10 hours a day.
I wonder if they're so high level, man. Coming up to shoulder to shoulder, and the last month I played like 10 hours. That sucks.
Yeah, exactly. I was in the same boat. I increased my playing time from twice, you know, to 2 to 3 hours a week to, you know, 2 to 3 hours a day. And even then, it was like, I can't be bothered anymore.
Hey, don't we have to check out? Is there a
fee? 11-ish. Yeah, 11-ish. Okay, so, I'd like to thank everybody for sitting here and answering questions. Mr. Wings, Guillotine Fist, Darius. Sorry, I have trouble pronouncing
it. Darius.
Darius.
Is it Darius?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to just call you the Melbourne nickname, Duras. And Mr. Chowder, and Ali, our special guest. Thank you for organising Shadow the Showdown.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks
for having us.
Cheers,
guys.
And, that'll do.
Once again, I'd like to say thanks to Mr. Chowder, Guillotine Fist, Calls Inferno, and Aris for sitting down and doing the interview with us. Also, on the last note, definitely check out Kianten and Go Swooze. Hopefully I said that right. New podcast. It's called Don't Be a Pro. You can find it either on the Osodo forum or there is a link on Mutton's blog. That's just about going to wrap it up for this episode. As always, stay hungry, stay salty, and thank you for listening.